Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we trust the Lord will bless those two little verses to us tonight. From my heart to look at some things this weekend that will comfort and encourage us, and we trust perhaps will challenge and speak to us. I want to look at this ministry of God to our hearts as the God of all comfort. God has been pleased to reveal himself by different names and titles, and some of these are very wonderful. He has done this by identifying himself with his attributes. Sometimes he has identified himself with men, a God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac. Sometimes he reveals himself by his ministries. And one of these is the ministry of comfort to the people of God. I don't know how it is in Westbrook, Maine, but as we travel in many parts of this land and overseas, I don't know of any time in my little experience when it seems the enemy has been attacking God's people as never before. God's people are going through the grinder right now in their families, in their homes, in their businesses. And it seems at times when, as Brother Doug has spoken of his own experience, and I think we all felt an answering chord there, when we have felt just like giving up. And if you've never felt like that, thank God for that, but stick around a little. Maybe the day will come when you too will feel that way. The enemy is furious at the fact that his purposes are going to be overthrown, as he sees the end of the age coming and knows that he has already been judged at the cross, and that judgment will be effected in a coming day, which is getting sooner and sooner. And God's people need to be comforted. This little text that we've read, very simple and direct, it tells us that we need comfort. And it tells us that others need comfort. It tells us that we may bring comfort to others, and we do that by comforting them with the same comfort that we have had from God. Now, that's a very, very simple and direct statement, but the Lord wants to remind us by this text just how he does it. It may be that the mind is affected, and the devil is after the minds of God's people today. I believe that is really the focal point of his attack. There was a day when he was attacking the bodies of his people, of God's people, and they were burned at the stake, they were sawn asunder, they were thrown into prisons. Well, that may be true in some societies, but in the West, this is not so. But what he's doing today, the enemy is after the minds of God's people. He's seeking to penetrate our thought processes. Paul speaks of this in Romans 7. I find a law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Now, the law of something is the way it works. And Satan wants to change the way our mind works as believers. He doesn't want our thoughts to be brought into the captivity of Christ. That is, that when our mind is in repose, they immediately gravitate to Christ. The devil doesn't want that. He wants that when our mind is in repose, they immediately gravitate to that which is evil and that which is dishonoring to Christ. And so he penetrates the mind. He does it through the members. Little chorus we used to sing in Sunday school. Don't sing it very much anymore. But I think it's time to resurrect it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Little hands, what you do. Little feet, where you go. and not little ones either. I think we all need to be careful as to what penetrates our mind. Many of God's people are suffering distress of mind, and the mind faints and is weary, and so he has to minister to the minds of God's people. It may be not just the mind, but the heart is distressed with sorrow. There are broken hearts amongst God's people. Broken-hearted mothers and fathers. Broken-hearted young folks. And there needs to be the ministry of healing. The Lord Jesus has that wonderful touch of healing the broken heart. Not that he knows how to heal the broken heart, that's true. It's better than this. In Luke chapter 4:18, he tells us he himself is the healing of the broken heart. Maybe even the body, and I'm not going to teach special healing gifts, but I do thank God that he is Jehovah Rophika, the healer God. And I don't believe that he has invested certain persons with special gifts of healing today, but I do thoroughly believe in the healer God. And there are some of you know all about that, sitting in the audience, as well as the rest of us. Where had things gone as they seemed to be, we would not have survived but for the prayer and intervention of Almighty God, preserving us to serve him a little longer. We believe in that. 107th Psalm is the great exposition of praise in the Old Testament. It's a lesson in how to praise God and why we must praise God. In fact, the principle of the 107th Psalm is, if we will not praise God voluntarily, he will make us. And that was the problem in each of those persons that are referred to in the 107th Psalm. That some it was their body, with some the heart, some the soul, with some the mind, but in every case, he met their need and brought them through that they might learn to praise God. So it might be that these are areas where we have special need. It might be that God's people are discomforted because of remorse for the past failures. That was Peter's problem. Excuse me. Past failure. How the devil loves to thrash us with our failures. And God knows we have lots of those. The Lord never does that. Once sin has been confessed, it is completely removed. There is no record of it. Satan may assail the throne of God against his people, and God might holily and justly reply to Satan, "What sin?" There is no record of sins up here. Those sins were put away. But we can lash ourselves and hardly climb over our past failures, very much like Peter, with remorse. Or it may be present circumstances, the stress of immediate circumstance, like Job. Or it may be fear of the future, apprehension like the disciples, as they contemplated what would ever happen when the Lord had left them by violent death. So the Lord understands all the areas where we may need comfort. And so he reveals himself as the God of all kinds of comfort. Just for a few minutes, I want to look with you at this lovely ministry of God. And how not only do we need comfort in these areas, but he provided that comfort. Not that we should be comfortable only, but that we should be comforters of other people. And there's a great need for the ministry of comfort amongst the saints today, both young and old. He ministers comfort to us, of course, by the comfort of his Holy Spirit. We know, of course, that that is one of the titles given to the Holy Spirit. He is called the Comforter, the Paraclete, one who comes alongside us to strengthen and encourage us. My mind, when I said that, immediately flew to a little experience I had at the Galt Conference many years ago. When I was passing through rather a dark day, And I was going to the conference, actually to take part in the conference, and Brother Bob McCluckin, who was a very dear friend to some of us, and he had a great discernment. He could discern needs in people's lives. And I guess he discerned there was something in my own life that was needed, and he said, instead of going down to lunch, why don't we go out for a walk? So we went for a walk, and we talked a little time. And I'll never forget what Bob did to me that day. He just put his strong little arm around me, and he just gave me a hug, and he said, Brother Boyd, the sun will shine again for you. That wasn't a verse out of the Bible, but I'll never forget that. That was the first ray of hope that I had in my darkness. The sun will shine again for you. Maybe he was thinking of the day that Jacob wrestled with God. And when he came out limping that morning, the Bible says so beautifully, and the sun rose upon Jacob. Didn't the sun rise on the whole earth? Of course it did. But God turned on the sun for Jacob that day. He's the God of the individual. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry of comfort. How does he comfort us? By the Holy Spirit. Well, in times of loneliness, he assures us of his abiding presence. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, I will pray the Father, he will send you another comforter that he may be with you forever. Loneliness is one of the widespread sorrows on earth today. Strangely enough, young people gather in crowds, but they're lonely. They're all looking for a friend. Someone in whom they can thoroughly confide. Someone whom they can trust their innermost feelings and thoughts to and know that they will never be betrayed. Old people are lonely. And they feel rejected. Perhaps by their family. Loneliness is a sore pain to bear. And the Lord understands loneliness. For there was never anyone more lonely than the Lord Jesus, and he penetrated the absolute, utter experience of loneliness when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He understands loneliness, and he sympathizes with it. A sense of being alone, without having the friend Mrs. Craik in her little book spoke of, oh, the inexpressible delight of feeling safe with a person. Pouring our words, our thoughts out, wheat and chaff together, knowing that a faithful hand will separate what is worth keeping and with the breath of kindness blow the rest away. Real friends. The Spirit of God indwells the believer, and God has committed that no Christian will ever be alone, ever again. Because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, gracious and loving and kind, he continually ministers to his people. One of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is in the book of the Revelation. He is described there as a sevenfold flame of fire. Now, you never saw a flame of fire that was ever static. It's always active, unfolding out of itself both heat and light. And that's a picture of the Spirit of God in your life and in mine. He is never, never, never inactive in our lives. He is always ministering. He is either ministering to us by comfort or conviction. He is ministering in us by instruction or edification. He is ministering through us by testimony to others. He is ministering for us by intercession. But he is never inactive. When we are fast asleep at night, the Spirit of God is ministering on our behalf. In times of loneliness, he assures us of his abiding presence. In times of uncertainty, when we don't know how to pray, he prays for us. He reads the groanings of the heart, the innermost unspoken longing. He translates those into the special language of heaven and presents those as intercession to the Father. Did you ever wonder sometimes why suddenly a problem just is solved? Suddenly, a burden is lifted. Suddenly, a provision is made. So it happened. She didn't even know how to pray about the thing. The Spirit of God was interceding on our behalf. He comforts us in times of weakness. By intervening with His supremacy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard again. And there are times when we are weak and we are ready to faint and our feet had almost gone, our steps had almost slipped, and the Spirit of God just intercedes, steps into the situation, and either directly or by some individual He has led, He brings us through a time of great temptation or difficulty. He ministers to us by His Holy Spirit. He never seems to be out there in the marketplace preaching the gospel. We never hear Him in the meetings. Lord, all He does is bring people. Pray for you, Andy. That's a good brother. And so we would go down the list. But how did the Lord pray for me? And if anyone knew the disciples, it was the Lord. He knew them through and through. He says, "Oh, Father, thank you for these men. Thou hast given them to me. They were thine. Now they're mine. They believe everything I tell them. They know our secret. I pray for them." Did he mention their fault? What did he do? He advocated. He told the Father good things about the disciples. And that's a lesson for us maybe in our prayer life. That if we would begin praying for one another by presenting to the Father the good qualities of one another. And tell the Father just what nice brethren in sincerity and nice sisters we really fellowship with. And advocacy. Speaking for the people. That's what the Lord Jesus does. He speaks for us. He doesn't brush anything under the carpet. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He deals with everything in a fair and honest way. But this is a comfort to us. To know that the Lord Jesus is our advocate. He comforts us with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We read about the comfort of the Spirit. I'm not Methuselah yet. And the older I grow, the more I begin to appreciate this wonderful book that God has given to us. Sometimes you wonder just how little we know of it. Verses that we thought we knew 25 years ago, we open them up now and find there are oceans of truth we had never even discovered yet. And buying a bigger telescope, suddenly you find there are stars out there you didn't know. What a book. Well, this book is filled, saturated with the balm of Gilead from cover to cover. Thank God for the comfort of the scripture. In the books of Moses, this comfort. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath of the everlasting arm. What a consolation that is to the troubled child of God. There'll be a sister in Detroit passing through a difficult time. A servant of the church, always there to serve others. But she took sick, and with a very painful malady, she underwent a very heavy drug therapy. When she was let out of the hospital and the ministry of drugs was taken away from her, she plunged into a deep depression. And I heard about it, and passing through the city one time, I went to see her. She opened the door, and when she saw me standing on the step, she broke out in tears. "Oh, Brother Boyd," she said, "I'm on the very bottom. I'm on the very bottom." Stepped in. She gathered her emotions together. I said to her, "I just want to read a little verse to you. Come to the book of Jonah." And I read those words. "The weeds were wrapped about my head, words that describe prophetically the deep sufferings of the Lord Jesus beneath the waves and billows of the wrath of God. The weeds were wrapped about my head. The waters compassed me about even unto the soul. And I went down to the bottom. I said, you know, James, the only one who ever went to the very bottom was the Lord Jesus. And when he was there, he made the pledge for him to lay the everlasting arms so that no matter how far down we may go, we can always say, underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, the consolation of that scripture to many. Think of the historical books. The Lord said to Joshua directly, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful consolation that has been. Book of Psalms, saturated with comfort. Saturated. Many years ago, now, I was lying in a tent on the edge of the Sin Desert in Pakistan, what is now Pakistan, recovering from a dose of dengue fever. And the whole squadron had been shipped into Burma, and I was left alone with another 100 empty tents. And there's nothing more ghostly in all the world like empty tents. Especially in the edge of the desert, where every night the loose wallers, the thieves, would come in and steal. And they were master thieves. They said you could go to bed with 2 sheep and wake up in the morning with no sheep. I said to an Indian fellow, how did you do that? No problem to them at all. They take 2 sheets off of their top and bottom and not even wake up. They covered their bodies in grease. They only wore a loincloth, carried a knife, and they meant business. Well, I was the only occupied tent. I was the only person who had anything to steal. As I was lying in the middle of the night and I could hear the squeak of the rope and the ripple of the canvas, I was sure all the loose wallows of the desert were crawling around my tent. I was troubled. And I thought, well, Nicholson, where's the peace of God that you tell all the boys about now? I said, Lord, where is that peace? I need it now, Lord. Give me that peace. I lifted the mosquito net and lit the hurricane lamp, opened my little Bible that was lying by my bed. It fell open easily at Psalm number 4. And these words just stood up on pins that seemed upon a page. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Put out the light and went to sleep with that tranquilizer, comfort of the scripture. Prophetic books are full of comfort. And thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What comfort we find in those books. The gospel of comfort. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. The words of the Lord Jesus. The epistles are full of comfort. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Wherefore comfort you one another with these words, even in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 1, which we shall look at, Lord willing. Tomorrow I thought Brother Doug was going to preach my sermon tonight, but he left enough of it for me to carry on with. But fear not. Oh, the comfort of the Scripture. And finally, there is that beautiful comfort. We often take for granted the comfort of the saints. I concur with Brother Doug. With all their warts and wrinkles, God's people are the salt of the earth. Let us never forget it. They're precious to God. And I know we're hard to live with at times. But nevertheless, we are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And every child of God cost God exactly the same price. The precious blood of his own dear son. In chapter 7 of this book, if we had come to it, we would have read these lovely words. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, we came to Macedonia, and our flesh had no rest. Fightings without and fears within. This is the great apostle Paul. fightings without and fears within. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth them that are cast down, comforteth me by the coming of Titus. Now, Paul knew the scriptures better than most. God could have comforted him with a verse from the scriptures, but he didn't. Paul was full of the Spirit of God. He could have comforted him with a direct ministry of the Holy Spirit. But he knew that what Paul needed at that moment was the touch of a warm human hand. And so he sent Titus. He brought him comfort, and a comforting message was only. Remember the story of the little boy who couldn't get to sleep at night? And those of us who are parents all know those situations. A little fellow keeps asking, Daddy. And Daddy goes up and, yes, what is it? Tucks him in, tells him a story. Daddy, drink a water, drink a water. Daddy, want to get up? Okay. And you know the story. Just couldn't seem to settle that night. Until at last the daddy thought he was distressed, fearful, and so he said to his little boy, "My son, there's no need to be afraid. In the darkness, God is here with you in this room." "I know that," said the wee fellow, "but I'd like someone with skin on his face." I think we all know that feeling. There are times when you need a human friend. And it's a wonderful thing that we have that privilege of bringing comfort one to another. And over this weekend, we may strengthen and encourage one another in the Lord. And this is one of the reasons that we come together. That by our mutual faith, Paul says to the Romans, by our mutual faith, we may be comforted one with the other. And so we trust that the Lord will strengthen us, challenge us, encourage, exhort us over this weekend. When we leave it, we might never quite do the same. What if we could just sing a verse of a hymn together? Number 12. Number 12. This is a wonderful old hymn. One of my favorite hymns in this book. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with a view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. So just two line verses for me where we can sing the whole hymn because the message is very beautiful. Number 12.